Blog Talk Radio.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Here we go.
Sing it again.
Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Adversity, the storms of life, being able to still live abundant life. So without further ado, this is your co-host, Coach D.
And I am Minister LaDon. And again, welcome to Woman to Woman. We're so glad to invite you into our lives, our dreams, our visions this evening, and we're doing that so we can help you, help to encourage you in your lives, your dreams, and your visions. This is our sister time, so make sure you are not alone. Grab your sisters, call your sisters, text your sisters, tell them to join in on this telephone call because you are going to be blessed tonight. We're going to bless your socks off with our special guest that we have joining us this evening. Her story will not only inspire you, but it will help to give you courage for the road and the journey that you are walking through.
And one of the things I want to tell our audience tonight, before we get started, we encourage you. If you know someone who is going through any type of illness, you know, going through any type of illness or disease, disorder, we will challenge you to have them call in tonight. I believe that this show is going to come with an anointing. And so we want you to have them call in. They need to hear this. This is for free. This is for free. We go and we pay doctors and we pay, and I'm not telling you not to go to the doctors, but we'll pay hundreds of dollars to go to a specialist or go to a doctor, and I think that's good that we have that. But what I'm saying is tonight, this is free, and you are going to be so, they're going to be so encouraged. If they're going through, they're going to be so encouraged on tonight. And I believe that hope is the element.
Amen.
Hope is one of the biggest prescriptions that we have. That
amen.
We could take
amen.
That
amen.
Brings relief to any situation, to any heartache, to any disease, disorder, destruction, hope. And so tonight we believe that hope, the prescription of hope will be given on tonight, but you got to take it. And in order for them to take it, they have to be given it. In order to be given it, they have to come. So call them. You got a few minutes before the show just really gets intense. Call them, let them know. Be on this call because we are issuing out the prescription of hope.
Amen. I love that. I definitely love exactly what you just shared. And, again, we have a powerhouse joining us in the studio tonight. Her name is Toni Ellison. We're going to introduce her in a minute. We're going to pull her into this conversation and have her share with you her background story. But before we do that, we want to make sure that we are, again, extending that opportunity for you to tell a friend, share with a friend, let them know that we are going to release Toni into your lives. And so you want anybody dealing with any issue, not just sickness, but especially sickness, or challenges, but anybody who's ever faced any hardships in their life, their extreme challenges that they're going through, make sure they're listening to this call because their lives will be changed by tonight's show. And so without further ado, we want to welcome our sister, Toni Ellison, to the show. Toni, are you there with us?
I am here. Thank you very much.
Oh, amen, amen. Amen. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you first and foremost for having me on. We are breaking barriers. This is somewhat of a debut for me because many people that know me know that I don't particularly talk about this very much. However, I do believe that it's God's great timing for me to come on out and, like you mentioned, to pour out this great hope amongst our people. And so I'm really delighted. I'm happy. I'm blessed. And glory to God for this. And thank you. And thank you, Coach B. And about me. Come on. So let's see about me. Well, I'll say that I started off as a single mom at a fairly young age. I was in my early 20s when I had my first child. I'm a mother of three children. My daughter, Zephanie, she is 27, she'll be 27 this year, and she's headed to great and mighty places. She works for the United Nations. She's a council member of the Association of the Youth, United States of America. She's always worked in government. She finished out college in 2013 and then got her master's in 2015, and she's a government-y type of super intelligent woman. I'm so proud of her. For she's just finished out the Obama administration, and now she's on to the back full-time in the United Nations. I have a son who's in his season, and he is 2 years younger than her, so he'll be 25, and he's a visual audio guy, really hands-on, one of those gifted people, I would have to say. Out of all my children, he's the most like me because he's super creative, and he can just do anything. And he does this audio visual. He can make commercials. He does all kind of amazing things on a computer, and the cool thing about him is he taught himself. I didn't even know that he knew how to use it, let alone do tricks and wonders with it. So he's just an amazing guy like that, and he's a music producer. So he's just very creative, so I'm thankful that he's in the L.A. area doing amazing things with that. And I have a little girl. Her name is Yael, and everyone knows I'm cuckoo about my Yaya. She's my shadow, and I'm her big shadow. We both have separation disorders with each other, and Yaya, she sings, and, of course, she's a high school student. And she sings, she dances, she's more of an artsy person, and we just love her. She has a huge heart for her generation, so we are developing that in her through, various things that we'll talk about a little bit later. So those are the three people that are attached to me by birth, and I'll tell you, life had been going on fairly normal for me as a single parent and as a single person for many, many years. And in 2012, my youngest daughter was 9 years old at the time, and we call her Yaya, so I'll say Yaya. And she was in a horrible accident, and it was an accident with our dog. And to make it less dramatic, the accident, she lost her eye. And because she had concerns about contamination in the brain at that time, because in this attack her eye actually came out, and because there was an animal involved, they knew that contaminated blood had gone to her brain. For that reason, the problem persisted in ER and then onto ICU, that her life was threatened at that point. And I will go on fast forward where she was treated the best they could. And her sight has not recovered from that accident, so she remains blind in her left eye. She had gone through quite a bit of disfiguration in her face with that accident, and since then, miracles and miracles and miracles of the Lord have afforded her an opportunity to get with an organization called Let's Face It Together, and that doctor, Dr. Kimberly Cochran, looked at it after many doctors said nothing could be done about this. Her face was disfigured. Her eye was disfigured. She was in fourth grade when that happened. And just about 2 years ago, that doctor took on the task of fixing her face. And guess what? That doctor fixed her face. I think it was in 2012. 2013, my oldest daughter graduated from college out in Southern Cal. And we were at that time of her graduation. We were keeping kind of a secret because she was struggling in her academics and rushing to graduate from college. Let me say this. In 2011, I experienced a traumatic experience where my godparents, who I was taking care of both of them, mom and dad, both passed away 3 months apart. A very traumatic experience for our family, a tremendous loss to us and the body of Christ. So I was dealing with that in 2011. In fact, my godmom's funeral was on the same day as my daughter's emergency surgery from the accident. So it was really busy. And just 2 weeks before that, a good friend of mine that lived directly across the hall from me in my apartment complex, she just suddenly passed away. And we were the ones who basically found the body and had to go through the traumatic experience of them trying to resuscitate her. So that was 2 weeks before that. That's 2011.
So Tony, I'm just gonna kind of navigate us back. So let's fast forward, because at what point did this other news come, which we're going to be, like you said, talking a little bit more deeply.
All right.
So now we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to pick it up from there because I'm sure at that point Minister LaDonna probably have some questions to ask. So let's pick it up from there.
Okay. So we have the events of 2011 where my godparents passed in 2012 with my child, 2013. In 2013, at the time of my oldest daughter's graduation, like I was saying, we were kind of keeping it from her, but at that point, I had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And that is where this particular part of our journey begins on tonight. So there was a series of things that led up to it, mighty stressful, but here we are. And now I have cancer. Wow. What am I going to do?
Wow. So we just want to kind of bring our audience that's coming in now, just bring you up to date. We have the beautiful Toni Ellison on with us, and she's going to be sharing her story. And she introduced herself, and now we're taking it from the point of where she actually has gotten diagnosed. So we're going to go from there. So she actually has gotten diagnosed with breast cancer. And so my question is to you, was it just in the breast, or did that begin to spread anywhere? Or
yes, at the time of diagnosis, yes, I was staged at around stage 2B, and it was just in the breast. At that point, I opted to go ahead and have a lumpectomy where they would remove the tumor and take it from there.
Okay.
And so that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that did happen. I did that.
Okay. So, you know, one of the questions that I want to ask you in having to make a choice like that, what are some of the things that were going through your mind? First of all, being diagnosed with breast cancer. You know, a lot of times we go through different issues in life, and we want to lay down for everything. We don't want to fight. You know, you lose your job, you're sad, you lay down, you start drinking, you start drugs. What was your first reaction when you were diagnosed, first of all, and then also having to make that saying, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and allow them to remove my breast, what are some of the thoughts that were going through your head? But first we're going to start off with your first reaction when you were diagnosed.
I remember going through, you know, the biopsy and this and that and not getting any information from the medical team. Basically, I wasn't told that I had anything. All I got was a phone call saying, okay, we're going to schedule you with an oncologist, so you need to get there right away, and then we'll discuss further with you at that time. So I got a call after maybe about 2 weeks, and they said, we're going to schedule with an oncologist. So no one ever said, hey, you're being diagnosed, you've been diagnosed, and we're going to schedule. It was just bam. When I heard that, we assumed, and I just froze on the phone. And the receptionist was like, hello. I was like, you want me to see an oncologist? And they were like, I'm so sorry. Is there something wrong? And she knew at that point that I didn't know. And
wow.
I just kind of froze. And it was very scary. And I went on to have experiences like that with my medical team on several occasions when things were going on that I had no idea about. It wasn't communicated to me that these things were going on.
Wow. And before we move on to that second question, which was, you know, some of the things that were going through your mind when you removed your breast, I heard you say that you were having several experiences with your medical team as far as them not communicating clearly to you or communicating at all the things that you needed to know up front. Do you still have that same medical team?
Well, let me say this, go back to a question you asked earlier as well. You asked me, did I have cancer in other places, you know, after I had the surgery? The answer to that question is the cancer did metastasize quickly after the surgery. So,
okay.
Yes, to that question. I decided to go for a second opinion at a very large university. And during that second opinion, you know, I really didn't have the insurance to go there, but somehow they just kept me. I don't know how that happened. I still can't explain to this day. It's just a situation that I'll quote-unquote slip through the cracks, and no one has ever said anything about me being there. And so I'm still with that original medical group, but they pay for me to go to the university where they have a comprehensive cancer center, and I've been there ever since. So I have that medical team. And that medical team finds it a little bit unconventional dealing with me because at some point on this journey, I feel like I got an answer from God. Now, this is me, and I'll reiterate, this is me, and this is my story. And I don't impose that on anyone. But I had a tiny bit of knowledge about a more holistic lifestyle that could actually heal cancer. And so I opted to do no medicine. So you'll find that along the way, so far, I have not done any chemotherapy. I haven't had any radiation. I've had cancer spread quickly to my bones, cancer spread to my lungs, endometrial. I have cancer in my lymph nodes. And, the largest cancer lesion I have is bone cancer. It attacks my spine in a way that it kind of wraps around my spine. And we see lots of cancer in my body. We see it a lot, all the time. My numbers for cancer are fairly high, okay, at this point. At this point, my cancer diagnosis stands at stage 4 cancer. My quality of life with this disease is impeccable. There's no signs of cancer or any type of sickness in my blood work. My labs come back with no flags. All my labs come back just fine. The only thing on my labs is when we do a test called a CA15, which is a cancer marker, and that number continues to be high and fluctuate in a range that is above a range for anyone who has normal cancer. So I'm staged at 4, and as far as I know, I've talked to my team, and they said that that is standing. No matter what happens, I am stage 4 and will always be stage 4. And that's their vision for what is going on. And,
got it. You know, I'm going to take us to that question of your you know, what was going through your mind. I want you to share with our listening audience that experience of, you know, as much as you can, deciding your breast removed, one of your breasts removed, and then we're going to go on from there because I see you. You know, I just saw you a couple weeks ago, and I love how you talked about that your quality of life, because anyone who looked at you or has been around you, and I don't know what goes on in your own home and when you close the doors, but I'm saying outside in front of everybody, to look at you, to see the joy in your face, to see the, like you said, the quality of life that you're living, I wouldn't ever know that you had any type of illness whatsoever, let alone cancer. So we're going to move to in that direction, but I do want people to understand some of the thoughts that were going through your head when you decided to have the partial mastectomy, because I want people to understand the experience of your challenge and the spirit of your fight.
Yes. The things that went through my head, I will say that I had spurts of fear, believing that the original downcasting of fear that I had lived with for so long in my life is the culprit of the disease in the first place. You know, so I had no control of that. I had a habit of being a fearful person. Even though on the outside I've always been really upbeat and I've always had characteristics that I hope many will be able to identify with. Because when you pull out and you don't really know who you are, you'll listen to anything. And when I would have doctor appointments with oncology, and it was a day before, a few days before, my whole entire person would just freak out. You know, I would be afraid. I couldn't sleep. You know, it was just, it was horrible. I thought that I was going to die like they said I was. I began to wonder what was going to happen to my children. I began to wonder, and I would actually have visions of myself dead in a casket, how my family felt. And I would sit around and I would conjure up all these things about what it was going to be like to die, you know. So, and I know many people have those feelings, and I'm not exempt, you know. When I would go out, you couldn't tell. And I cannot even begin to explain to you how I covered those things up. It wasn't exactly a cover-up. It was just the unspoken. It was the unspoken thing that we go through. When I talk to other colleagues and peers who are in the same situation, very symptomatic with cancer, no, they don't look like me. They don't look like me. Their quality of life is very different. And so they're looking at me, I'm looking at them, and they're like, who's the patient? You know, when I go to oncology, they're like, oh, well, who's the patient? And I go, I am. And they're like, okay. And I notice other patients are looking at me too, like, okay, what is she doing here? So I do have those thoughts, and I have those things that would come up. How do I override them? How do I override them? I believe that I have purpose. I've been trained to believe that I have purpose in life. But knowing that I have purpose or desires that have not yet been attained is the one thing that pushes me into a state of, I'll call it autopilot, because I know I have these things. It's always running in the back of my mind. I have things to do. Oh, yeah, I have purpose. And I have been asked that question for many years. Well, what is your purpose? What do you want to do? And I kid you not, I'm just going to step out on a limb and be transparent and tell you guys, I don't know. I didn't know until this happened. And then I started moving toward the idea like, well, I have this, so I guess I'll help other people. And many times people look at their, you know, their situation and they go doom and gloom and they forget. They forget that who you were before diagnosis. Getting a diagnosis will zap you dry of who you used to be, of who you thought you would be. All that stuff goes completely away. And you don't know. And you do feel like you're alone. There's nothing nobody can do. Why? Because of the words that we've heard surrounding cancer. It is a death sentence. But I listened to many people and doctors, and I empower myself with information. I listen to a guy named Dr. Buttar, and he talks about our emotional psychological component being the most important part of our journey. And when I began to understand that my character shined through no matter how I was feeling, those moments of fear, I kept being myself. But I didn't know that I was myself. And I hope you understand what I'm saying, because I didn't know that, because I was just being me. And it didn't feel like I was covering up my fear or shame. And I did go through moments of shame because I thought that I was plagued with this disease because of maybe something that I'd done. Or, you know, some people say, you know, if God is using this disease to teach you a lesson and this and that. And, you know, and I knew some of the things that I had done in life were like, well, God, I'm so sorry that I did that. Every apology I could think of came to mind that I could give God for some of the ways that I had going through this life that we live. And, you know, that wasn't it. It just, that wasn't it at all. It wasn't it.
Wow.
And I would encourage you, those who know me well, hopefully some of them are here on the line and they can come into the queue, because I would like to take just a quick few moments, because the whole thing here is I'm so busy being me, I don't even know what you all see in me. I don't know what you all see in me that makes me have that it factor of why I'm such an encourager and how I'm truly able to overcome this symptomatic thing that supposedly kills people. You can't get me to believe for 1 minute that this cancer will kill me. You can't, because I have seen and I have heard and I understood so well that it's up to me, that I must choose. I have to choose life or death. I have to decide if it's this thing that I heard a teacher say, cancer yes or cancer no. Do I want to live or do I want to die? And it's a tough question. And many nights of anxiety that I thought I was going to die through the night. Because why? Because I heard of people having that. I have friends who didn't wake up, who were diagnosed with cancer, and they did not wake up the next morning. So those things would play over and over in my head. My cousin who had passed, and I'm like looking at her in that casket, and I'm like, oh, my God, that can be me. And then I would go off on a tangent thinking that it could be me. But do
so
I?
So, Tony, quick question here. Let me ask you, because in all that you're saying, and I want the listening audience to really get this, because you had to make multiple choices. First of all, you had to make the choice whether or not to believe the report. And so what I mean by that is, yes, the fact of the matter remains. The fact remains that you had cancer. You had to make a conscious decision that facts can change, and you held on to some principles, because those principles don't change. Facts change. And so in your case, yes, that was the fact, but there were some governing principles that even in the fear of it all, because what I hear you saying is that your humanity, the human parts of you, worried and feared and knew that with this diagnosis came death. At least that was the fact of the matter. But then it
that
sounds
was
like
fact.
There was something greater in you that held on to the principles and not the fact. And so what I want you to just share, and then I know you said you have some people that's on the line that you wanted them to come in, and we're going to open up the lines in a minute for those listening in. We're going to open up the lines and have them come in just a moment. We do have one person waiting. So what I want you to do just really quickly, and then we're going to answer some of these people that's dialing one to come in. So caller, we see you waiting. If you could just give us a moment, because what I want Tony to touch on is, what was that governing, what is the governing principle for you? Now, this ain't everybody's story, because you said even
right.
your choice not to get treatment is, and we want to be careful, and you already said that, I loved what you said. Oh, you said it so profoundly, because you said, this is my story, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to tell you how to live your story, but this is my story. And for those who are just tuning in, we're speaking with Minister Tony Ellison, and she has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So in other words, it started in just the breath, and then it moved to the lymphatic system in her bones. So she's been dealing with this for a few years now, and she's made a choice after the is it lumpectomy?
Mastectomy.
She has made a choice. She's not going to get treatment, and I'm just kind of bringing some of the callers up to you wasn't going to use medicine. That was her choice, choosing the more holistic avenue towards healing her. Now,
you know, and while you're saying that and passing the mic back to Tony, one thing I want to say, Les Brown said it very well when he said that he doesn't feel like, and I'm paraphrasing, doctors should never give you a death sentence. They should just say that your illness is beyond my knowledge to treat.
Amen.
Mm. So with that we're going to give the mic back to Tony.
And we want to, and so we're going to, and we have a caller holding. So I just want you to take a couple of minutes and just share with us. You chose not to. You chose not to give in facts. So what was your governing principle? Because you had an option, facts or principle. What was the thing that drove you towards the principle of not accepting the facts?
Awesome. I had just a tiny bit of knowledge on holistic lifestyle, just a teeny tiny bit at the time of my diagnosis. Never thought in a million years it would be me because I am an extremely healthy woman. I've never had any health issues before this. And I'll say they wrote this. They said, whatever you believe is possible or not possible, you are correct. Took me to get to the point. And I would sit and read for hours and hours and hours on this holistic health and how to rebuild the canvas on the inside of my body, that the body would be strong and healthy and begin to heal itself. And I had to get to the point of understanding that the brain is very powerful. And the most important component, as I said before, is your emotional, psychological component. And that seed of understanding possibility. Because if it were not possible, it would have never entered into my psyche in the first place. So at
point
of choosing, you become what you hear, and people begin to treat you according to your belief. And faith comes by hearing and by hearing and by hearing and by hearing. Well, you have this, and there's no cure for it. We want to make sure that you know that we're going to do everything we can to extend your life. And I heard these words that caused me to fear my doctor's appointment. But I noticed that when I wasn't at a doctor's appointment and I had a couple weeks' time to think about it, when I discovered that you become what you hear to the point that you make a decision to believe it, I knew that I had to believe it the way that I believe it. I had to believe it. Yes, there are the facts, but yes, there is faith. And yes, faith is outlined and it's intertwined with the truth. And the truth, I'm going to tell you this, it was the Holy Bible, the Word of God. Jesus is the center of every single thing that I believe the Word of God to be true, rather than to accept the facts. So my reality became the invisible. My reality became that invisible thing. And we know that from a model that we are a part of called Vertical Leap, that you can't do what you can't see. And as long as you're framing your truth from the outside, the things around you, your five senses, and the things that you can see, when God says, this sickness is not unto death, I had to make a decision. Okay, this sickness is not unto death. Still asking myself, am I going to die? Oh, my gosh. They said I only have until March, and I'm waiting for March to come until, boop, once again, this sickness is not unto death. By hearing, and choosing to believe that thing that is possible rather than to believe and succumb to the words that were spoken to me.
And
you know what? You're sharing some awesome stuff. I'm going to cut you off, not out of lack of respect, but I know you have some people that you want to give the opportunity to share how they deposited into your life. And before we bring them on, we do have that caller still waiting. So I'm going to allow that caller, 909, last four of your telephone, 5707. If you have a question or comment, go ahead and share with us right now, and then we're going to go back to Tony so she can bring in her family and friends.
Okay. Area code 909-5707, you're live.
Hello?
Caller? Yes.
Hi. Oh, I apologize.
Hi.
Well, first of all, good evening to everybody, and Sister Tony, this sounds like the gift that you're giving this audience is just amazing. I have and am experiencing what you call a double whammy. I understand exactly what you're speaking about. However, I didn't have the faith that you had to go without American's medicine or the doctor's medicine. But 14 years ago, I was given 6 months to live. Actually, 2002. Sorry, I was given 6 months to live. And 14, 15 years later, I'm still here. Only this time, faced the same, if not worse, situation for my sister, my youngest sister. I tried to get her in online, but she wasn't available. So just to share that she's been diagnosed stage 4 in her bone, lower left lobe lung, also in her breast as well as her lymphatic system, and it's just flowing through. However, I'm not even an inspiration to her. She's an inspiration to me. She has continued to do what she does, and like you, Sister Tony, she's very healthy. She's a vegan. She's a skier. She's a motorcycle rider. She's a mountain climber. She's a gym rat.
Wow.
Very healthy, only to discover in a matter of a couple of weeks that it was all throughout her body. Now, she is doing, and the doctor is giving her what they call palliative care, which means comfort care. They're not going to remove anything because they feel they're deeming it not, it would be cause more harm at this time and at this stage. But what I do see in her is this light and this glow. We've been made aware. You're not going to cry. We're not going to get upset. We're going to fight. And we're going to live each day as the gift that God has given us. And she still takes her clan to the gym, even though she can't truly work out because of the pain that's in her body now. She pushes those people that she's been pushing for the last couple of years to continue on. When they had the big ski trip, she couldn't ski, but she was there holding up the flag for everybody else, you know, making sure that everybody else had a good time. And she's just taking each day as a gift. And, you know, she's literally stopping to smell the flowers. She's literally looking and absorbing each everything around her. She's appreciative of each day that she gets as a gift. And for me, it's almost, you know, I'm not going to pass on fear. I refuse to do that. But in your heart of hearts, when you've been through what you've been through, that journey, and you understand the medical terminology, you understand the research, you understand when they're not doing something that you want them to do, and you have to agree with them that it doesn't make sense, and that allows just that little piece of fear to lodge into the back of your mind. But the only thing that I can say is when I hear someone such as yourself, when I hear the sisters that have gone on before us, and when I hear people that just say, you know what, we're going to keep her lifted up in prayer, and that's what we're going to do. And we're not going to just wish. Like you said, you're not going to put a stamp. Now, the blessing on this is her doctor has not put a stamp on her. Her doctor's real. She's realistic, but she's not put a stamp on her. She says, this is where it is. I'm not given a time, but I'm going to do everything that I can to elongate her health, to elongate and to keep her from feeling any type of pain, and to make her see that tomorrow is possible. That made me love that lady even more at that point, you know, just for her to say, to make her aware that tomorrow is possible. So, you know, telling your story, you know, you never know who's listening. You never know who may need to hear it. You never know who is watching you. And unfortunately, someone may be watching to see you falter, to see you cry. And even if they see you cry, it's just to release that reservoir because you got so much joy in me. We got to let it release a little bit, only to be refilled again. So keep on doing what you're doing.
Amen. And that is very true. A lot of people don't help me or come to my rescue even if I need it because I don't look the part. I think sometimes they forget that I have a condition, even on the days that I don't feel well. It's very well understood that, oh, well, that's mom. That's me. You got to. Mom, I'm hungry. And I'm like, I don't feel good. Well, what am I going to eat? So that is very true because I don't look the part. I don't get a lot of help that I wish that I may have had. But she is an inspiration. She is an inspiration because that brings me to the point where the Bible talks about, he said, oh, it was good that I was afflicted. And the fact that she stops and she smells flowers now, shouldn't we be doing that anyway? when do we take the time to stop and be that beautiful creation that God created us to be, to enjoy the fruit, the fullness of the world that belongs to him? She's doing that. She may have been forced to do it. That is a symptom of intolerable pain that is causing her to change her vision and her perspective on life. That's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
And it is helping me that you said that, because, yes, we do. We look at life much differently, and it's a blessing to all who are around her. And I love that. And honestly, guys, I really, you would think that I pray for myself a lot about this, guys. Heal me. I hardly ever pray for myself. You know why? Because I always hear powerful people say, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for you, and people lay hands on me that I trust, that love me and care, and they pray for me. So I'm like, I'm standing tall for everyone just like you and just like your sister, and I will never stop until the day
Amen.
That I stop breathing. Yes.
Sharon, thank you, caller, for sharing this story with your sister.
Yes. Thank you.
Love how you, Tony, how you talked about that you have powerful people in your life and that are laying their hands and praying for you, laying hands on you and praying for you. What I want to do now is make sure that we give your some of the people that you have on the call with us right now an opportunity to share how they are helping you in your life. I know, I think you said you have at least two people that you would like to
do. Do you have area code 615 on the queue?
You know,
or area code
I will
830.
And yes, you do. We do.
Oh, awesome,
and so
awesome.
But no, whatever their name is, just tell them to press 1 so that they can.
Brilliant.
Okay.
So area code 615, last 4, 4262. You are live.
Let me tell you about this person. One of the things that has helped me along the way from day one, I jumped on Facebook, I seen something, and I went from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, until I ended up at a Cure to Cancer conference in San Diego. When I went to that conference, there were people there who were far worse off than me, who have literally had their bodies have been healed of cancer through this holistic lifestyle. I never even knew this community of folks existed. I kid you not. When I went there, I didn't see anybody there that looked like me, meaning that there was only 2 black people there. It was me and my son, and we were volunteers. One of the things that birthed out of that conference for me was a large global group called The Truth About Cancer. This thing has gotten so humongous that it's all over the world now. The person that you're going to hear from right now, I have to tell you that this knowledge, this power, is how I gained the momentum to live through my situation, to begin this journey and to fight a fight that was already won, was The Truth About Cancer. The person that we are privileged and super blessed to have on the line right now is the founder of The Truth About Cancer. Be blessed and listen to this. Her name is Charlene Bollinger. Her husband, Ty Bollinger, is in the wellness community. He's a superstar. So thank you so much, our sister Charlene Bollinger.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. What a warm and loving welcome. And I am completely and absolutely humbled. Thank you for inviting me on your show tonight and allowing me to join you in this journey and reach out to all of your listeners. Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the show.
It's a joy to have you here. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you. I'm pleased to be here and share our journey with you and hopefully encourage a few people out there that are listening, hopefully a lot of people.
Amen, we do. And start, I just want to ask any callers that if you've spoken, if you could dial 1 to remove yourself out of the queue, so if you have another question later, we'll know. And now step back, and it's Charlene.
Yes, I'm Charlene. Charlene Bollinger. I'm married to Ty, and we have now what's called we look at it as a ministry, really. It's The Truth About Cancer, And you can find us online at truthaboutcancer.com. But we actually started probably 6 months after we were married, which was 1995. That's when Ty, my husband's father, was diagnosed with cancer. And would you like me to just share a little bit about our background and that kind of thing?
Oh, definitely. Please do.
Okay, I would love to. Six months after we were married, his father was diagnosed with cancer, and 25 days later, he was gone. He had died, and this was a healthy man. But the reason that he died, what we thought was cancer, in hindsight, we realized he bled to death. We went to the hospital. They cut his stomach out, said it was riddled with cancer, sewed him back up, didn't do a good job, and basically, within 25 days, he bled to death. The surgery was botched. And so the conventional medicine, they pretty much killed him. And so within that first year after that happened, we lost his father's father to cancer, and then his father's brother and his cousin Glenn, all to the conventional cancer treatments. And here we are, newlyweds, losing one after the other. And right before this happened, Ty looked at me and said, "Honey, you know, it's amazing, but we've never had to deal with anybody in our family close to us dying." And then that's when we dealt with his father and then his grandfather, his uncle, his cousin. And then finally his mother's mother died and then his mother's father and then finally his mother, and that was in 2004. And let me tell you, when his mother died, for us as believers, knowing that God is sovereign, he allowed this for a purpose and a reason, we were already doing the research from the very beginning of this journey together. And when we found out that there were many, many cures for cancer that are systematically being suppressed by this large big pharma machine that is really making a lot of money on ineffective treatments that have a dismal, for example, chemotherapy 2-point-something% success rate in cure. That's an F minus. And we were finding out a lot of different things through a lot of research, and we determined we were going to write a book for the sole purpose of helping other people and other families not have to be devastated and plundered like we were. And we realized that a lot of people we knew were also losing their loved ones. So in 2006, we released a book called Cancer: Step Outside the Box. That is just, it's in its sixth edition now. It's really a well-written book. Ty was writing that. We were writing it together, actually. Our big kids were little at the time. Ty was a tax director, getting up at 5 in the morning, working until 8 at night. We'd come home and write the book for a few hours. So basically for a year and a half during this time, I was a single mommy by choice while he was busy working as a tax director and writing the book, and I was helping him with this. We get the first hard copy in our hand, and I remember Ty looking at me saying, "Well, honey, do you think we'll sell a copy?" Because it was never our intention to sell a copy. It was never our intention to make money. It was simply our intention to save lives. So, ladies, quickly, let me just tell you that the Lord blessed our efforts. He blessed the book. It went to the top of the charts on Amazon.com and others. And quickly, Ty started doing different talk radio show, and then eventually he got on Coast to Coast, which really we couldn't believe how many books we were selling and how many people wanted to know more about what we knew and wanted to hear from us. And so Ty started traveling, and then in 2014, we produced our first docuseries. It was the first one was called "The Quest for the Cures," and we, from the time Ty started traveling to do the interviews to the time we actually gave it to the world, and we gave it to the world for free. It was only 6 weeks, unbelievable. But and there's a lot that goes into producing docuseries, and right now we're in the middle of another one called "The Truth About Vaccines," which will be released in April, and I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But
hey, Charlene, Ty, yes. Bollinger guy, he's like the Oprah Winfrey of the wellness world.
Yes, and you know, that's exactly what's happened through these docuseries. The doctors all over the world want to be interviewed by Ty Bollinger. And
yes.
We just had a live symposium down in Dallas. It was our first one. We co-hosted it. We had our friend Robert Scott Bell help us. We had three rooms, so we were each, you know, hosting in a room, Ty and I together. And all of the, I guess it was a who's who on the medical community. There was Dr. Mercola, Josh Axe. Josh Axe is a solid believer, had a lot of scripture all over his presentation, which was beautiful, and our followers that were there that we got to meet in person was so wonderful. We had 1,500 people there, and a lot of them are Christians. You know, it's just people say that in America Christianity is no more. I am here to tell you that is not true.
All right.
A lot of our followers, our fans, our friends, our new friends are Christians, but they're hungry for the truth. And now we meet people all over the world that say, I'm alive today because of you. I was sent home to die. One in particular, a sweet woman in Canada, we went to speak there together, and a woman came forward and said, she got the microphone, a Q&A session, and she said, I want you to know that 6 months ago, I went to the doctor. He diagnosed me with cancer, and that's when you released The Truth About Cancer, Global Quest. That was our most recent blockbuster docuseries, and if you haven't all seen it, you need to see it. It's mm-hmm. online. We have a YouTube. Look it up on YouTube. The first two episodes are still up, and they're free. Please, everyone, watch it. We want you to be set free and to know what to do to prevent cancer, and if you have it, what to do. We want to hold your hand. We want to help you. That's what we're here to do. This is our mission in life. But this woman said, I was sent home to die. The doctor said I wouldn't live 2 weeks. I didn't believe it. I was not believing that I would die. I watched your docuseries. I did what you said, and I stand before you 6 months later, cancer-free.
Wow.
And that's the one
story
of many
I have. Having never met these people, I've always followed what they do just because I heard about them at that conference and I listened to Ty Talk. This different one. I took the little bit of information I had, and it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew. And now I'm studying to be a wellness doctor so that I can help
wow.
other people. So the truth about cancer, guys, is no joke. It's the biggest, the best of the best that we have in the wellness world, and I mean globally. And it keeps growing, and I encourage everyone to literally hold to that little bitty thing. I have tons of resources, but when it comes to that part of my resources, beside my spiritual part, which even Charlene reiterated that is one of the most important components here, is how we think about this thing.
Absolutely.
That is one of my main
and the doctors, they take your power away when they say that you're going to die.
Absolutely.
They are not God. Who are they to tell
That's
us
right.
what day we're going to die on? And many people, when they agree with that diagnosis and they believe it, they die to the very day and the very hour that the doctor pronounces death over them. But we're not going
yes.
to agree with that. That's not the truth. And,
That's
you know,
right.
our line that we give the world is, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We
yes.
are in this world to give the truth to the world. And our goal, remember, when we first started, was to reach every man, woman, boy, and girl with the truth, that they will have heard the truth about cancer, not only cancer, but the gospel as well. We weave the gospel throughout everything that we do. Because you can cure your body of cancer, but you're still going into eternity based on what you
and
do with Christ
just, yes.
is contingent on
and
where you're going to
cancer.
Spend eternity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All disease, not just cancer. We look
right.
at that. And we
it's
learn,
all
we
intermixed.
Learn of
it's
it.
All,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
But
thank you,
docuseries, real quick, I want to say one more thing. The last docuseries that we had, The Truth About Cancer, A Global Quest, we had 10 million views around the world.
Yes.
Amazing.
True.
But you know what, ladies? We have 7 billion to reach. And together we're going to do that.
Yes.
Okay. Now what I want to do, so I could just pull us in because we are getting towards the end of the show. So one of the things, Charlene, I just want to ask you, if you could just repeat, if there's a website, if you have a website that people, that you could just tell us so that people can write that down or I could get it so when people ask questions, because we have other people that's listening live in the studio. We have people that's listening online. And then we also have people that have come back and listened to the archive of the show. So if you could just give your website where people could get more information about the truth about cancer or any illness, like you said, because it's fundamental that I believe that the center focal point of our health and what we put in our bodies affect us not just with cancer, but high blood pressure, diabetes, lupus,
Absolutely.
So many. So if you could just give the website really quickly and then.
Sure, and you're right. All disease is linked to your immune system. It's balancing. You don't get cancer. It's not the tumor. It's the body that's out of balance. We have to bring the body back into balance, and the spirituality is a big component. And
mm-hmm.
the immune system is a big component. Detoxing is a big component. Juicing, real foods,
mm-hmm.
getting off the toxins, detoxing. So much to it. But we have so much information
yeah.
for you and your listeners. The website, the main website that you could probably find everything is thetruthaboutcancer.com. Thetruthaboutcancer.com. Now, we also
have Facebook.
We're on Facebook, The Truth About Cancer on Facebook. We also have another page. It's where we started before we started the docuseries. It's called Cancer Truth, all one word, Cancer Truth. That's just me and Ty. It's got the blue check mark because we've been there for a while. But The Truth About Cancer is a bigger page. We have a lot of help. We have a big team. We have a lot of people working with us around the world. So, everyone, please follow us. Tell us you're there. And if you need any help, come and ask. And remember what God says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open.
That's right.
Awesome.
And so,
well, we,
that is awesome.
Charlene, for sharing, I'm sure we will be definitely hearing from you again soon. So thank
for
you so thank you so much for sharing.
Now, everybody, one last thing. I'm sorry, my family was there and unable to speak because I needed them to talk and tell you what they know about this it factor that I supposedly have. I love them all. One last thing I have to share with you all, Tony Ellison is my name, was my name. I want to let you know that through all of these things, how God is still faithful and that your life doesn't stop. What he has planned for you will keep going. As long as you keep moving, it will happen. My last name changed about 5 months ago. I tell you, through all this, even being diagnosed and still living with stage 4 cancer, the man of my dreams
has
come to me.
Hallelujah!
He is.
Congratulations.
Yes, he is Dr. Dwight Jenkins Jr. We're happily married. This man loves me. He prays for me, over me, and I tell you, he's a preacher, and I'm just so blessed to have him in my life. That my life being as it was has now even renewed itself again. So my last name is Sister Jenkins, yes, and I just wanted to make sure I put that out there because I'm listed as Tony Ellison, and my name is Tony Ellison Jenkins now. So yay, Jesus, that really did happen. True, powerful testimony of how he married me in spite of, because he sees me already healed. He sees me on the other side of this journey. Already here in powerful anointing, doing what God called us to do as a power team with our life together concerning the kingdom of heaven. And so that is my testimony. And that can be your testimony. And it's going to be, honey. Say bling, bling. Will it happen? Yes. Cancer cannot stop God's plan for your life. It cannot.
We have a question, and at this time what we're going to do is allow our studio audience, we're going to open up the lines. If you have a question, dial 1 on your dial pad, and then once you present your question, please dial 1 to come back out of the queue. That way, if you do have another question, you can come back. Now, if people just take, she got muted. If people would just take a couple of minutes, because we are towards the end of the show and we want to give everybody an opportunity, so please dial 1 on your dial pad, and that will let our team know you have a question. Caller, area code 209, last 4, 5845.
Hello, I'm on the radio. I'm sorry. Can you guys hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Steven Smith. I'm Tony's son.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Steven, I'm Tony's son.
It's my son. His name is Steven.
Hi, Steven. How are you?
What's going on? Can you guys hear me clearly or no?
Yes, we can.
Okay. A little delay. Just you know, something to elaborate on this it factor that I feel like is something that's really big and is something that's really helped, you know, my mom in this journey on being a cancer survivor. You know, just being the fact that cancer, I feel like, is more of a mental thing. It's more of a mind clarity space, and it's very spiritual to me. It's not necessarily something that has to do with your physical body I'm a strong believer that I'm a strong believer in the fact that everybody has to have a reason to get off of Earth. And the Lord really tries to grasp our attention by allowing us the opportunity to have these things so he can bring us to a confined space so he can speak to us and speak through us so that we can reach huge multitudes of people. And I feel like just, you know, her having this, the cancer going on, and her reaching all the lives that she reached so far, and just going, being on the endeavors of juicing and having the juicing part of her life impact so many other people, it's changed people. People look at her and they just don't understand how she does it. You know, all my friends come to you and they're like, "Hey, is that your mom or is that your girlfriend?" I'm like, "Dude, that's my mom." They're like, "You guys gotta like, just chill out." And nobody sees anything wrong with her from the outside. Nobody really knows she even has cancer unless you tell them. And they're still just like, "What's going on? Like, what is it?" It's just her spirit is a real heavy aura around it. And as long as you're in well spirits and you're doing everything that you can physically to be well and doing what God's purpose is for you to do on earth, then he'll keep you here as long as he wants you to be here, as long as you're impacting people, spreading his gospel. And I feel like that's what she's been doing for so long, you know, through it be, you know, yelling at me for cleaning the kitchen, you know, or if it's, you know, just talking to somebody who needed help, you know, just reaching out to the youth, you know, making sure she always has a group of kids around her going to listen to the gospel of the Lord. And it's a real spiritual thing to me, you know, having her, but she's reached so many people already. And just, I'm sure she looks forward to doing a lot more. People come to her and they ask her, "What can we do to get better?" And you're not even sick. What are you asking for? People just want to come to her because they see that she's doing so well. She looks like she's amazing, amazing person. You know, she's never down for too long. You know, it comes with the cancer. You're feeling bad, or, you know, some days are hard days, but those days you can hardly ever tell. And, you know,
Amen. I help his friends. They all come to me and ask me what to do, and I got a remedy for them. Yes, I do. I got a remedy for everyone.
Stephen, and I want to ask Stephen a quick question. In 60 seconds or less, can you tell me how this affects the way that you live your life?
And we want, because we have other callers as well, so we want to make sure we give it opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, one way it affects my life is I know that now I have to up my media skills. Because if it becomes worldwide, that's going to be a heavy job for me. But besides that, it helped me really be more conscious about my spirituality, honestly. It really opened my eyes to see that just because you're diagnosed with something, that doesn't mean that that's what you're here for. That doesn't mean that's what you're going to get out of here for. A media can come. Anything could come. A truck could come running to your church while you're at church on Sunday. You could be 10 years old. You could be 50. You could be 60 years old. That's not – having the cancer is not a focal. That's what they say. That's not what God said. I just feel like it's something that God puts in place for him to get your attention so that you can be zoned in to what he wants you to do. And I think that's the main thing that I – Yeah, that's the main thing that I took from it.
Yeah, he goes to most of my appointments with me. He's mostly at all my appointments, so that's cool.
Amen. That was so extremely powerful. Wow, that was awesome.
Yeah.
We have another caller, but thank you again, Stephen, for sharing about your mom. We sure appreciate you joining us on tonight's show. We're going to allow our next caller to give a question or a comment. Area code
916. Last 4-7944, you are live.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, my name is Glenda, and I'm one of Tony's friends. That's my sister. And let me tell you, this woman, I met her at a restaurant, you know, several months ago, and I didn't know that God put her in my life to really show me what sisterly love was. And what love was through Christ. And, you know, I met her, and it wasn't even, it was just like, oh, hi, just the friendliest person I've seen in a while. And I ended up almost, you know, losing my life, had a bad car accident. And ever since then, about, 5 months now, nothing but the positive, you know, love of God that she's just pouring into me. I can just say that, you know, this woman, I didn't know she was sick. I started telling her all my ailments, and, you know, that I feel so bad because, you know, I don't even know this woman walking around with, you know, more than me. I'm a complaining. But just being around her and knowing her, I've expressed to a number of my friends how it don't matter what is going on, God can come to you from anybody. And I'm so blessed to have her in my life. So I just wanted to call in and, you know, express my love for her and love for God just for putting her in my life. And, you know.
Oh, my gosh. I love you.
Sherry.
Yes. She showed up on a Wednesday night at Bible study out of town. She had quit driving from the accident. And she took a chance to jump in the car and drive 40 miles to a place that she remembered me saying in that restaurant that I would be there with my husband, who's a pastor there. And she got in the car and drove there. She came in. I didn't know who she was because I just met her in the restaurant. And she sat next to me, and she said, I'm the one you met in the restaurant. I was like, oh, she found us in church, in Bible study. Incredible God. And
amen.
I have not
you
let go of her since.
We have another caller, area code 209, and the last four digits are 0532. And thank you, caller, for the last comment. Thank you for sharing with us about Miss Toni Jenkins.
And we're going to ask the last two callers, the last two or three callers before this one right here. If you could just dial one again on your dial pad, that would take you out the queue. Again, just dial one on your dial pad, that would take you out the queue. We appreciate it. Caller area code, I believe.
209-0532 are the last four digits of your telephone number. You are now live in the studio.
Hello, I am Toni's mother.
Oh, wow. Hi, Mom. How are you?
Mommy.
I am awesome. I just wanted to call in and show my support for my daughter and to let each of you know that she is the most amazing woman that you will ever meet. I go with her to her doctor's appointments and hold her hand because I'm her mom, and we sing, and she's just, you know, just the most amazing person. She helps anybody that she can. She may see you and not even know you, but see where your struggle is, and she'll share a word with you. And sometimes people take it and receive it, and sometimes they reject it, but she still lets them know that God loves them, and whatever it is that they're going through is not them. It's something else. So anyway, Toni, I love you, and I'm glad you're here tonight.
Thank you, Mommy.
And her cancer has not changed anything in our family. We all support her in every way that we can, as from encouraging her daily and letting her know that, you know, what doctors don't have the last word, God has the last word. And whatever he says is true and not what the doctors say. We love her doctor, and we listen to her doctor, and we take her doctor's advice. But when they said whatever they said, I said, no, you will live and you shall not die. This disease is not unto death. This will not be your demise. So.
Now my mom is a health nut too. She eats right and she eats good.
We all became vegans.
We all became vegetarians.
And we love turmeric.
I think we have some more of your family here on the line.
Wow.
Again, thank you, Mom, for sharing with us about your experience with Mrs. Toni Jenkins. We sure appreciate you calling in. We appreciate your support of Toni. We love her, too. And thank you for sharing her with us. Anyone who has already shared with us and doesn't have a new question, please dial 1 on your dial pad because we have a lot of Toni lovers on the phone, and we want to get to every single last one of you. And the only way that we can tell who is new is by the people who have already commented. Please press 1 on your dial pad. That takes you out of our queue and allows us to see the new people in the queue.
Amen. Amen. I believe we have a new caller right here. And then, again, we are coming to our – we are past our show time, but this has been a very informative show. It's been such a blessing to those that's listening in, and we just thank each and every one of you for listening in. I believe we have a new caller here. And if you're not a new caller, when I give your phone number – you could just dial 1 and come out the queue, or say, you know, or say no, you're not a new caller, because we don't want to. We want to respect everyone's time on the show, and we need to start shutting down. So, area code 209, last 4, 9597. You are live. You are live.
Yes, this is Paulette. Gross. I'm calling in to say that Toni is just a beautiful, beautiful person, and she helped me when I was diagnosed with my cancer, and I wanted her to know I was listening in, and she has helped me tremendously. When I got my diagnosed, I just didn't know what to do, and the Lord sent me Toni. And Toni, I knew God sent her. I knew she was sent because of what she said to me, and it has helped me tremendously. And I just wanted to let you know publicly, Toni, and everyone else, that you keep on working and getting that information, because you sure have helped me.
Wow.
Amen.
I love you. Yes. She is my inspiration at this point. She eats right, y'all. She got the information and she started eating good. Now I'm over here trying to get her recipes. I love you.
Yes. Love you, Toni.
I love you.
Okay, well, we have one last caller for tonight, and then we will be closing down the show. But area code 209, last 4, 5845. You are live.
Sorry, I was already on the call. I had to turn it off.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, well, we just thank each and every of our listening audience on tonight. We want to thank our guest, Mrs. Toni Jenkins, on the show. We thank her for being willing and to be transparent and to share her journey. And we pray for Toni and the ministry that God called her to. We know that in a time such as this, our temples are important. Taking care of our temples are important. Anything as drastic as when you talk about disease, cancer, and different, I could go down the list. I don't even want to speak them too much because I don't even want to give them no energy in the atmosphere. From obesity, you know, it's people that are struggling with their weight, and that weight struggle, if not taken care of, could turn into other things. So I think Toni is on her way to a great journey, because if we could be proactive and deal with people before and get them in the right health and eating properly and the right herbs and vitamins and whatever the things that they need to get their bodies healthy, then we won't even have to deal with maybe some of this other stuff, you know. But we did hear a testimony that of someone who was doing all the right things. So, again, we know that it's a combination, a healthy balance, a combination of eating healthy, taking care of your bodies, as well as spiritual balance. So we want to just say thank you to everyone that has listened in on tonight. Important MCD Network to women on Tuesday nights. Please
please feel free to join us again next Tuesday at 7 p.m. as we continue to bring you quality shows, quality guests, great information. And just tell a friend. Have them call in. Next week our show is going to be dynamic as well. God has just been blessing us with amazing guests that have amazing stories, that's doing amazing work for the kingdom, and we are excited. Also, tune in on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. for Processing the Pain. Also, amazing guests doing amazing things. And so we just thank you again, and we just want you to know that you are truly, truly loved and appreciated.
Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Here we go.
Diamonds to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Sing it again.
Bring songs of love and songs of
joy. Woman to woman. Yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Oh,